This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
One of the things I do with my staff is I say, okay, explain the resurrection to me in 2 minutes without using any church language. And I'll make them start again if they use any language that is church language. The words like grace and mercy and, you know, there's so much church language that we use that we don't realize that we're using. So speak their language as well. And that takes practice, and that takes hanging out with the kids and understanding the way they speak, the way they reason.
Welcome to Preach, a podcast from America Media on the art of Catholic preaching. I'm your host, Ricardo da Silva, a Jesuit priest from South Africa, associate editor at America Media, and associate pastor at the Church of St. Francis Xavier in New York City. In each episode, we take you into the minds and hearts of some of the finest preachers in the Catholic Church. We listen to their homilies, learn what makes them great, and draw inspiration to keep preaching the good news. This week on Preach, we have Rob Gallia. Rob is a Catholic priest born in Malta, currently living in Australia in the Diocese of Sandhurst, Victoria. He's a singer, he's a songwriter, he's a performer. He was once a contestant on Australia's X Factor, and he's also the founder of Icon Ministry, formerly FRG Ministry. Above all, Father Rob emphasizes his faith. Before we begin our conversation with Rob, a word from our sponsor. Are you searching for a meaningful way to get closer with Jesus this Lent? Let me introduce you to a fantastic opportunity, Daily Rosary Meditations with Dr. Mike Scherslick. Their podcast is quickly gaining popularity, offering daily reflections on the Catholic faith through the Rosary. Each day, Dr. Mike dives into a different topic, guiding listeners in meditation while praying the Rosary alongside a global community. In just under 20 minutes, you'll experience scripture, meditation, and the Rosary, all designed to fit seamlessly into your daily routine. Whether it's during your morning coffee or your daily commute, it's a wonderful chance to start your day with faith and reflection. You can easily find them on your favorite podcast app by searching Daily Rosary Meditations or visiting their website at dailyrosary.net. Don't miss this chance to enrich your Lenten journey and strengthen your relationship with God. Join them on Daily Rosary Meditations today. Now, onto our conversation with Rob Gallia. Rob, welcome to Preach.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Always a joy. I heard so much about America Media and I feel humbled to be here.
It's really wonderful to have you. Thank you for coming. I was watching your X Factor audition,
yes.
So I had to include that. What was that experience like?
Well, it was surreal. To be honest, I didn't want to do it. So every year, even till today, The Voice calls me the masked singer. Mm. They all want me to be part of the show, not because I'm anything good. And this is simply because it's good publicity to have a priest on the show.
Exactly.
And year after year after year, they kept calling me. And eventually, look, they said, we want you to be on the show. We'll do whatever it takes. We're coming over. We just want to have a 5-minute conversation. 5-minute conversation turned to me accepting to do the audition, only the audition. I did the audition, but and then I got 4 yeses from the judges and I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't think this through. And so I ended up on the show, but eventually ended up wanting to leave because that little small voice of consolation was disappearing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, nah, my piece is more valuable than my success. And so I decided to walk away.
And that was really striking. I was watching a video where you were explaining, you know, how you decided to leave The X Factor. Mm. And it was very moving because you're somebody who has a huge following on social media and you clearly have fame as a priest. And so that you were able to say, actually, that's not what I'm about. What I'm doing is drawing people to the gospel and drawing people to Jesus through the work that God is doing in me. And I don't want to be a celebrity.
Not at all.
Was really powerful. So tell me a little bit about your ministry. Tell me about Icon Ministry. You've recently changed your name. What do you do?
Well, Icon Ministry came from my preaching. I used to go around the world preaching. I'd fly around the world, speak at different conferences, from LA Congress to NCYC to all around the world. And this is my passion, to proclaim the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, especially where they haven't heard of him. And we set up this ministry as FRG Ministry, Father Rob Gallia Ministry. But during the pandemic, this started to grow. It blew up. So we started online masses, and we'd have 60,000 people at every Sunday mass online. And from there, we started creating resources for schools. We started teaching teachers online while they were in lockdown. And things started to grow and grow. And then we started a missionary arm where we went out and we work very closely with organizations that help young girls out of sex slavery, for example. And from there, now we're going into a big project where we're building a church. Guess where?
Where?
On Roblox, on a video gaming platform. So we're building a church where there are 70.1 million users every single day.
Wow.
And what we decided was we need to preach the gospel there. Mm. So Icon Ministry is about proclaiming the gospel. And people can read more about it on our website. Not to be confused with Icon Ministries. It's ministry because...
Singular.
We're having an issue at the moment because there's another ministry, which is their mission is very different to ours.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I really want to get into this conversation about how we create preaching that is more appealing for young people. But before we go there, we're going to hear you preach. Tell me, what are the readings that you have focused on in your homily? You're preaching for the fourth Sunday in Lent.
Yes.
That's Letare Sunday, Rejoicing Sunday.
That's right.
And what reading have you focused on?
Well, I've focused on the gospel, which is the gospel where Jesus talks about, he's talking to Nicodemus and telling him about the snake that was lifted up in the Old Testament and telling him to come to the light, come to Jesus. The world cannot satisfy you. This is going to be exciting for me to be able to look at this at a time of joy, Letare Sunday, mm-hmm. in a time of grief, in a time of sorrow, in a time of repentance, we get this breath where we can realize, hey, this is about a joyful experience that's about to happen, and that is the resurrection.
Mm. Tell me, this homily, who are you planning it for?
So my ministry is a bit strange again. So I work full-time for Icon Ministry, and on the weekend, I'm a sort of a part-time associate pastor. So
welcome to the club. Yeah. I share in the pain and the joy.
Yes, exactly. So what I get to do is I get to preach in the parish. I'm going to be talking to a parishioners. Now, the parishioners, we have a generally older. So it's an older demographic in a town, which is an aging town. There are a lot of young people, but there's a lot of disengagement. Australia is 25% Christian, mm-hmm. about 8% Catholic, and about 4% of the 8% practice their faith.
Mm.
And they're totally disengaged. You just think about Australia as being the most secular nation in the Western world, fifth generation non-practicing. So I have to explain things and be very basic, but also not compromise the message. So I'll be talking there. But also, every Sunday, we have an online mass on our website, Icon Ministry website, on YouTube, where we have, again, about 20 or 30,000 people. So I'll be preaching to a small crowd and a big crowd, a crowd that I can see and a crowd that I cannot.
Well, the virtual ambo is yours. I'm going to leave you to preach. We will now hear Rob Gallia preaching for the fourth Sunday in Lent, Letare Sunday, especially recorded for Preach.
So there's nothing God desires more than for us to be in the light, to love him. Because in the light is where we see things for what they are. We see God for who God is. We see ourselves for who we are. In the light, we are happiest. But it is a painful process sometimes to get into the light, especially if we have allowed darkness to enter in. And we let darkness come into our hearts through the compromises. Sometimes we decide to let things go. We decide not to pray. We decide not to do the things we should do and do things that we know we shouldn't do, as we read in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, St. Paul, the greatest saint, one of the greatest saints who ever lived. He lived in the light. I can only dream of being 1/10, 1/1,000,000th as holy as St. Paul. But even he said in Romans, he says, I struggle with the faith. No matter how much I try to do the right thing, I mess up. And here's the reality. You are messed up. And I am messed up. But the great thing is that no matter how messed up we are, God calls us into the light, into the beautiful light. And in the light, we're going to find freedom. And freedom from what? It's freedom from the things that sometimes eat us up. When I was younger, brought up on the island of Malta, I used to like to explore and to go out into the garden. And very often we'd see this big rock, and my sister and I would surround this rock, and we would usually pull the rock over. And we knew that when we toppled the rock over, we'd see bugs, a lot of these small bugs that loved the darkness. And they were piled up into a sort of a sheet of darkness, of black, of these little bugs, these little millipedes all hidden there. But one thing that happens is when you topple the rock over into the light and expose these bugs, all of a sudden they start to scatter. They start to move away. And you're left with the soil there, and all the bugs all of a sudden disappeared. Now, this is the reality for us. What are the bugs of your life? What is gathered under the darkness of your life? And why are you afraid to lift up that rock? Because you see, once Jesus lifts up the rock, he doesn't lift up the rock to expose us. He doesn't lift up the rock because he wants the world to see how bad or wants to show us how we need to improve, but simply because he loves us. He knows that when we turn to him, that we're going to be free, that we're going to be joyful, that we're going to be able to live and become everything that God wants us to be. But here's the question, how? How are we able to become free? Maybe you've been struggling with addiction for so many years. Maybe you've tried to pray, but you, no matter how much you try to pray, you get distracted and you just cannot sit. Maybe you're in a relationship that is broken and all you feel is trapped and in this darkness. How? How do you find the light? Well, I'd say the first thing is to stop. To stop and to ask Jesus, Jesus, please bring me into the light. Do whatever it takes to make me uncomfortable. Because in this discomfort, you see, bringing in the light, turning over the rock, is discomforting. So give God permission to make you uncomfortable so that you can live in the light. The second thing is, once the darkness is there and exposed, and once the bugs, you see the bugs, now you have to get rid of them. And you do this through, for example, especially if they're big bugs, going to the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. And some of you are scared, like, I don't want to confess to a priest. What? I'm embarrassed. I haven't gone for years. I don't know what to do. And why should I confess to a priest? But I just say quickly three things as a priest. When you go to confession, first of all, when you confess your sins, you're confessing to Jesus, okay? And the priest is not there to judge you. The priest is not there to condemn you. The priest is there to offer mercy and forgiveness. That's one. The second thing is that you're not going to scandalize the priest, even if you're the pastoral associate and you go to confess to your priest. He said it all. All you need to do is to be ordained for 2-3 months, and you've heard it all. The devil is not original. I give you this, that some people are more creative in the way they sin than others, but no sin is going to scandalize the priest, because he comes there, and honestly, when I hear the worst sins from the people who I think are the best, I just think, wow, Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us this freedom, never going with a sense of scandal or shock. You're not going to shock your priest. And the third thing is just know that the priest is never going to share this with anyone, not even with you outside confession. He's never going to refer back to it. He's never going to talk to another priest about it. He's never going to talk to his own confessor about it. It's going to go and die with him. It's gone straight to the cross. So you can know that the priest is never, ever going to talk about this. You see, God wants you to be healed. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be in the light. So just step into the light, even during this beautiful season of Lent, as we come to the greatest light of all, Jesus, who is risen from the dead. And just stop and say, Jesus, please, bring me into the light. And Jesus will take the first step. But you need to take the step towards Jesus, towards the sacrament of reconciliation, especially, as I said, if the sin is great. and ask the Lord for mercy and forgiveness. Yes, it is painful to lift up the rock. Yes, it is shocking to come into the light. But there is no greater freedom than living in the light of Christ. So I just want to pray for you that you'll have the strength and the courage this Lenten season, this Easter season, to step into the light of Christ. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your light. We thank you that you are the light, the merciful, the tender, the gentle light that leads us to freedom. Give us the strength to trust in you. Let us know that you will carry us to freedom, but also give us the courage to come to this sacrament, the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of embrace, the sacrament of freedom. Lord, we want the freedom that you have won for us on the cross. And for this we rejoice and we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was Rob Gallier for Preach. After the break, Rob shares how he prepares to preach extemporaneously, but with authenticity and vulnerability, especially when speaking with young people. And now, a word from our sponsors. Boston College School of Theology and Ministry recently announced a new certificate program called Courage to Preach, starting in summer 2024, designed to equip ministers, particularly campus and parish ministers, to better integrate the riches of our faith with the crucial challenges of our time. Participants will learn to utilize scripture and Catholic social teaching to preach on contemporary issues, such as racial and environmental justice. The program will engage diverse audiences in dynamic methods for preaching, teaching, and facilitating faith and justice activities, particularly attuned to the techniques most effective for reaching young adults. This hybrid program takes place in person at Boston College over two summers and online for one module during the winter in between. To learn more, visit bc.edu/preach today. Are you still searching for a meaningful way to get closer with Jesus this Lent? Let me introduce you again to a fantastic opportunity, Daily Rosary Meditations with Dr. Mike Scherslick. Their podcast is quickly gaining popularity, offering daily reflections on the Catholic faith through the Rosary. Each day, Dr. Mike dives into a different topic, guiding listeners in meditation while praying the Rosary alongside a global community. In just under 20 minutes, you'll experience scripture, meditation, and the rosary, all designed to fit seamlessly into your daily routine. Whether it's during your morning coffee or your daily commute, it's a wonderful chance to start your day with faith and reflection. You can easily find them on your favorite podcast app by searching Daily Rosary Meditations or visiting their website at dailyrosary.net. Don't miss this chance to enrich your Lenten journey and strengthen your relationship with God. Join them on Daily Rosary Meditations today. Now, onto our conversation with Rob. Rob, the thing that strikes me most about your homily is how much of it I think I remember, which isn't something that we can always say at the end of a homily. It can be like, well, what was he saying? Where did he begin? Yeah, okay, I remember one or two ideas. But I have a clear sense, even though you were preaching extemporaneously, you have notes, but you were preaching extemporaneously. How do you do that? What is your, you know, sort of structure or secret to be able to speak in such a clear way?
Yes. Well, I think there are a number of things. One, I spend most of my time talking to teenagers. I go to schools all around the world and I speak to teenagers. So I have to keep things simple. And also, I think simply. I think through imagery. But I use a system in my brain, which is tell them what you're going to tell them. So I set the scene. So basically, just that story alone should be enough for a homily. So even the part in itself should be, without me needing to explain, they should know where I'm going with
when this. You say the story, you're saying
lifting up the stone, yeah. For example, and the dark, and then the bugs scatter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is the light that scatters the darkness, that scatters the bugs. So that in itself is a story. So I tell them what I'm going to tell them. Then I tell them, so the middle part will always be different depending on the demographic, depending on who I'm in front of. And I also, in this process, think of my own brokenness, think of my own life and my own need for the light. So I think in a sense, I'm not afraid to be vulnerable. And I think a lot of seminaries and priests, and we're trained to guard ourselves, to you disappear now, you're a priest, and it's no longer you who lives, you are in persona Christi, and all of a sudden the humanity has disappeared, the brokenness has disappeared, the authenticity has disappeared.
Yeah. And nobody can connect to you because they can't find you.
Yes, because you can't find yourself. Who are you talking to? You're talking to the marble, you know? And so when I'm talking, I'm number one who needs to go to confession. I'm number one who needs the bugs scattered.
I mean, just for context, your own story is one of, you know, you say that you suffered violence, addiction, suicidal thoughts. So this is something that you encountered as a young person.
Yes, absolutely. I, as a teenager, like 16 years old is when I encountered the Lord. But before that, I was in a place of addiction. I was lost. I know what it is to be in the dark, but I always speak from a place where I'm preaching to myself. Also, I talk about things that maybe I don't yet have resolution in, because there are a lot of things in my life that I haven't resolved, but I would still preach about them. It's not because I have them resolved, but it's because I, like you, am on a journey. And so I tell them what I'm going to tell them. There I tell them. And then at the last, at the end, I tell them what I told them. So the conclusion was for the mind, but the prayer and then is for the heart. So let me internalize it here and now. And sometimes what I do is, rather than a prayer, I would connect it to a part of the liturgy. You know, I say, we're going to the Eucharist now, or we're going to do this. And I connect it to a part or the creed or something, part of the liturgy, so that people can, at that moment, make it theirs, make it their prayer. Because I want them, at the end of the day, we sow the seeds, but it is God that is going to change the heart.
You had some notes. I saw you had a few notes, but you were just preaching extemporaneously. Is that how you always preach?
Well, I never have notes. It's more because I'm a bit nervous.
Nervous to be on preach?
But I would never have notes. I would literally just know where I'm going. I know what I want them to feel, sense, decide at the end of the homily. How I go about it, I shoot. I speak to them. You know, I speak to them. I'm having a conversation with them. Now, having said this, I'm well prepared.
I was going to ask you. So spontaneous doesn't mean you haven't prepared.
No, absolutely. Okay. Like, we have a podcast, Catholic Influencers Podcast, where four of us are preparing for an hour of exegesis for this homily. And we use different commentaries. And so we come. And so I have a lot of knowledge and understanding of that scripture. And I've reflected on it and I've thought about it and I've thought about it also in my own life. So I'm extremely well prepared, but I have a basket of 1,000 points, but I grab a few of them. But they're all prepared points. So I would rather be over-prepared, and then you can't really be spontaneous if you're under-prepared. If you're over-prepared, it allows you to be spontaneous, because otherwise you're preaching the same thing over and over. And I mean, I think also there's a tendency to talk about ourselves, and it just, it gets dry, especially if you're talking to the same people over and over. But if you're like journeying with the Lord and you're reflecting on that, God never leads you in the same place. You're always moving and you're carrying the people with you.
What advice do you have for preachers who are trying to make that leap? Or, you know, who want to become more confident as impromptu speakers?
Well, I'd say the first thing is know, not what you want to say. It's not about what you want to say. No, think and reflect on what you want your people to feel, to decide, to understand. So sit on the pew with the elderly woman, with the teenager. What do you want them to go home with, to understand, to feel? So start there. And then what you do is you build backwards. So I would say build, if you're going to use this system, tell them what you're going to tell them. Just write 1 point. On the tell them, put 4 points. And then tell them what you told them, 1 point. And just go with the points. Don't write out your homily. This is my recommendation. Because if you write out your homily, you're going to look for, your brain is going to look for the expressions you used when you wrote it out. Oh, I really wrote this well. This was really good. And your brain is thinking about trying to remember how you wrote it. So if you want to be spontaneous, don't write it out and then summarize it. No. Write it in points and keep it in points and practice in front of the mirror. And it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be authentic.
Let's look at your ministry very particularly, which is mainly with young people. How do we speak to young people today? You're about to launch a church on Roblox, on a gaming platform. What are you thinking when you're trying to reach young people with the proclamation of the Word of God?
Well, most of my work is in Australia. So Australia, again, a lot of the young people don't know the difference between Jesus and Hercules. I know less about Hercules than I know about Jesus, but for them, Jesus is a character in a book somewhere. There's absolutely no connection.
I think that's probably true for many people here too.
Yes,
many young people.
So when I would go to a school, generally, especially if it's the first time I go, I would start with testimony. Because people don't need to connect with the message. They need to connect with the messenger first. Because teenagers, you have to win them over within the first 30 seconds. Otherwise, you've lost them. So it's about connecting. Let them connect with the messenger. Talk to them about who you are. Introduce yourself. Say, hi, I'm here. And if you're nervous, tell them, listen, I'm really grateful to be here, but I'm really nervous. But I just want to share the story. And the reason why I want to share the story is because Jesus has done this in my life. And I believe that if he's done it for me, he can do it for you. And this is how. Talk about your struggles and give them chance also to process. Like for example, question and answer. But it takes a lot for someone who's afraid of being vulnerable to take questions. Because some of the questions, yes, they're easy to answer. But sometimes, my goodness, you think, if I take it this way, they're all going to hate me. If I take it this way, they're all going to hate me. So it's a lose-lose situation. But you have to be able to work with that.
And in the context of the homily, would you engage them with questions?
Well, if you're just talking about a homily,
yeah.
I think, again, I would keep to testimony and to examples. Do your research with the language they use as well. Do your research with what they understand. And story. Story is so important. But not a story, I find, now maybe I'm wrong here, but not about a saint that lived 800 years ago. Don't start there. Start with you, with your struggle, with someone, or something that happened within the school, something that they know. And for goodness sake, stop using church language. One of the things I do with my staff is I say, okay, explain the resurrection to me in 2 minutes without using any church language. And I'll make them start again. If they use any language that is church language, the words like grace and mercy and, you know, there's so much church language that we use that we don't realize that we're using. So speak their language as well. And that takes practice and that takes hanging out with the kids and understanding the way they speak, the way they reason.
What would you say the young people you work with really need in Lenten time?
Okay, so I would start with the idea, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Kids are so preoccupied with their own selves. It's so narcissistic. It's exhausting, and they are exhausted. They're tired of thinking about themselves. So give them this opportunity to realize that they can just stop and spend a time realizing that there's something they can do for others and that they can do for others without putting it on Instagram, without putting it on Snapchat, and realizing that their reward is in heaven, okay? So that's number one, like almsgiving. Repentance, again, realizing that they are messed up, that they need help, but they are not disliked by God because they messed up. In a cancel culture, they're terrified. They do something wrong, they think that there's no hope for them. There's never going to be forgiveness. That's the way they're conditioned. They do something wrong, forever cancelled. So understanding the concept of forgiveness, that no matter how messed up you are, think about the apostles. All of them were messed up, and yet God loved them. God chose them, and God allowed them to be used in the building of the kingdom.
You have a huge following on social media. And, you know, 115,000 followers, I think, on Instagram was the last count I saw. It's clear that you attract young people. How do you think that we can use these modern mediums and yet not get sucked up into it? How do you maintain who you are despite the pressure to be on all the time?
Well, I think for me, it's easier now than it was. I must say I did struggle for a while because all of a sudden I started to get this attention and I started to, this was years ago, but the older I get, the more I realize it doesn't satisfy, it's superficial. So I think we've all been given a platform, whether we have a platform at home with our family, whether we have a platform on social media, we all have a place of influence. Now, the influence sometimes we try to make on others, to have on others, is very often superficial. It's going to die and it's going to leave us empty. But imagine the influence we can have on people is eternal. So the way I see it is, make, if not all, part of your platform an eternal influence platform. A platform that is going to not only change people's lives for the good, but change their eternity for good. And so imagine you had that power. Just think about it. Literally, in the palm of your hands, you had the power to change the life of someone. Now, of course, yes, I get attention. Yes, I like to take gym selfies, and people see it as attention-seeking, but in all honesty, for me, I'm just motivating people to look after their health, to look after the young men who feel like, hey, Father Rob can do it, then I can do it. And yes, some people get upset by it, but you're not going to please everyone. If you are honest, if you are a real influencer, you're going to upset people. But it's okay.
And just because we're not on social media doesn't mean you don't have that influence in your congregations and in Absolutely. The pews, right? And so I think...
In your families, wherever you are, you know, your workforce.
Rob, thank you. Your enthusiasm for Christ, for preaching the word of God, is infectious. I'm sure that our listeners are going to feel the same way after this conversation. I wish you well in Icon Ministry and in all that you do going forward.
Thank you so much. And again, it's a pleasure to be on Preach.
Thank you for listening to Preach. You can find the readings and a link to the transcript for the homily in our show notes. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of the Compelling Preaching Initiative, a project of Lilly Endowment, Inc. Preach is produced by me and Maggie Van Dorn. Kevin Christopher Robles and Michael O'Brien offered production assistance. Frank Tucson is our audio engineer. He also designed the theme score and composed original music for the podcast. Sebastian Gomes is our executive producer. We recorded in the William J. Loschert Studio in New York City. If you've heard a great homily recently or know a great preacher you'd like to recommend for this podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Just click the link in the show notes. You can follow me on X and Instagram at RickDSSJ. That's RICDSSJ. Finally, are you feeling like your prayer life could use a little boost this Lent? If you haven't subscribed to America, now's the perfect time. For just $5.99 a month, immerse yourself in our daily reflections on Scripture, delivered straight to your inbox. You'll also get a daily newsletter, notification of special events, and more. Whether it's me, one of my exceptional colleagues, or one of America's esteemed writers, you'll receive a daily reflection that ignites your spirit and deepens your connection to God. Become a digital subscriber today and support our work on Preach and all we do at America. Have a blessed Lent. For America Media, I'm Ricardo da Silva. Until next time, keep preaching the good news.